Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
You make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course, yeah. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Get it up.
One of those covers of the Video Store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep, what in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
A bunch of people are sitting out on a curb. Guy coughs, spits into the puddle on the street. All of a sudden a car comes by, splashes the puddle onto all the passengers. Cuts to the word coronavirus.
So it's
day 100 something.
Locked in. If no one had told me, hey, there's a global pandemic right now, I would have probably not known for the first couple weeks.
The state shut down everything with any public venues. I'm unfortunately considered essential, so I'm out in the world every day and trying my best not to kill my family.
How are you guys doing with this amazing global situation we find ourselves in? Happy quarantine!
The Pesci one from Goodfellas.
Yeah. Ah, what?
It's taken care of. There's nothing we could do.
There was nothing that could be done about it, man, and it's done. And it's like, they whacked him, man, they whacked him. They shot him in the face, so his mother had to have a closed casket at the funeral.
Yeah.
Let's just keep piling it on. Like, he was our favorite character in the movie, and now he's dead. So now we all have to decide, do we want to watch the rest of this or not? Man, have you finished the whole Irishman? Have you guys watched that on Netflix?
Yeah, a couple of times.
You've watched it more than once.
Yeah, I really liked it. Like, it's very slow, but
yeah, it's slow.
Slow. It's got to be slow. The average age of the cast is 85.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, so it was fast paced. The only thing I didn't like was the beginning, like the exposition. I thought was really handed. Like when he's like, "Hey, remember that gas station? That's where we met."
Oh yeah.
Like, that was kind of fucking
did you get that chain fixed? Oh, good, good.
I
you know,
respect people that are like 150 years old still being like badasses. You know.
Yeah.
Like it would have been so easy for De Niro just to continue doing like stupid comedies, but recently he's been on a really good turn. His appearance in The Joker. I kind of liked him in The Comedian, too. That was kind of a somber, like, dramedy. And then this, you know. He's really getting back to his roots. I hate to say that. It sounds like a douche thing, but that's what it feels like in some of these movies. Like, he's being serious again, and I kind of dig it.
But he's also in the phase of where he's kind of perfect to portray someone going into the twilight, you know, and I kind of felt that's what a little bit of the Irishman was. It was like, dude, he's not moving fast enough anymore, even though his face is de-aged, his body is still showing his age, you know, and it was kind of, I hate to say, it was the same thing I felt when Harrison Ford in some of the trailers for, it wasn't Patriot Games, it was one right after that, Clear and Present Danger, where he's like running down steps, and I'm like, dudes, you know, this guy should not be on this mission. What the hell is
this? By far my favorite actor, so I held out a little longer until Firewall, and when I saw Firewall, I was like, oh, fuck. That's not, like, how that's supposed to happen. Like,
this is over now.
Here, he was still trying to do, like, stunts. Fucking Paul Bettany bad guy.
Yeah, it's like Daniel Craig in the Bond movies now, because he's aged
yeah,
in dog years.
I mean, I
fucking hurt himself getting out of bed.
Yeah,
he's got like a 90-year-old's body.
Well, it's all that. What is that new hormone that everybody was taking the last like 10 years? Like, it's almost got the same initials as a date rape drug, but it was like, it's either GBH. It's the one that like.
It's administered in like Germany.
Yeah, you don't have to change your diet. You don't even have to start exercising. You'll just suddenly look like Ryan Reynolds in Daredevil. And I'm sorry, Deadpool. I have the worst. My brain has crossed those wires so bad that now I just like automatically say Deadpool or Daredevil. Shit, see, now I tried to do it and I can't even do the example. Ugh.
The worst part is he's probably referencing the 2003 Daredevil.
Easily confused. Easily confused.
Cosplay Daredevil.
Cosplay Daredevil. And then for that guy to go on and be an actually half-decent Batman was pretty surprising.
Well, that was, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure that movie is in production as soon as the first Spider-Man came out, right, 2002, and they just didn't put enough money into it and are just like, oh, superhero movies are usually dog shit. And then that Spider-Man blew the face off of that entire genre, and they were like, oh, fuck, this Daredevil's dog shit.
And we're talking about Tobey Maguire right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I actually didn't love that first Spider-Man. I was kind of like...
Comparison to like all the other superhero movies that come out before it, like the scale and the production and the CGI for 2002 was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like it totally took that to a new level where movie studios were like, oh, we feel comfortable now.
Right.
Putting money into these superhero flicks. And then they did a better job with the second Spider-Man. And then it started the fucking roll.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, that tangent with Daredevil never... Because didn't they do a... What was the female Daredevil?
Elektra. They did Elektra with Jennifer Gardner.
Yeah, that was worse than the first Daredevil.
Complete with shapeshifters, people turning into animals, like ninjas flying around.
That was worse than barbed wire.
And barbed wire was kind of awesome. Both of them were better than Tank Girl, which I'm sure I'm going to take a lot of heat for right now, but I just was not a huge fan of Tank Girl. Didn't work for me.
Comics are shit and all.
I had honestly totally forgotten about barbed wire. Fuck you for reminding me.
Now I know
what
you're gonna trick off to.
He says like he forgot, like he doesn't have a copy of it somewhere.
He's gonna slowly start undoing his buttons on his shirt.
Where is what's his name? They keep asking where our hands are at all times. I've forgotten his name and he's in Tangent City. Oh my god.
I don't think anybody's brain's fully functioning.
I'll have to.
Yeah.
Dude, it's weird, man. I was telling Drew earlier, I think it's like I've been waking up for the last week with a little bit of like a panicky feeling of, you know, I'm kind of tired of this now. It would be nice if we had a path that would make us feel a little bit better about getting through this. But it would be nice if this wasn't the way of life for the rest of our time here on planet Earth. But,
I know, it's not, like, I love being able to just stay home, and, like, I don't know about you, Drew, but I've been getting so much writing done just in general. Mm-hmm. The only thing that sucks is, you know, the global pandemic part of this, where when we have to go to a grocery store, I have to spend an hour and a half cleaning off the groceries, you know, like, that's the only part that stinks.
That is crazy, because, like, it didn't even occur to me that I'm not doing as thorough a job of that when we get back from grocery shopping as you are, so I'm like, oh shit.
Right. Well, you're in Virginia now, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit less less so dense population.
County, so it's not as bad in Sussex County, but there's some counties in New Jersey that are just fucking slammed.
Oh, my sister lives in Hoboken, man. My sister's right across the water from the city, and it's like they can't even go into a store without masks and gloves. And even once you're in the store, they have people at the doors going, all right, you have to wait until that person gets so many feet away before we'll let someone else in. It is kind of exactly a dystopian future nightmare from an 80s movie. So
we have to wear gloves and the masks when I go into the facilities that I service. And on top of it, just to reiterate what you were saying, convenience stores here only allow 5 people in, and unless it's a larger store, 10 tops.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing. There's face guards everywhere. There's designated, like, waiting in line spots, all that kind of stuff.
It's pretty wild, man. It's pretty wild. Of all the things...
The most fucked up part about it is the masks don't do shit if they're not liquid resistant. So unless they're surgical grade, they don't do shit for you.
Yeah, in any way, shape, or form.
You're done.
I think it's pretty much just to keep you from touching your face if you have a mask on. I think it's mainly...
It's purely like a fucking placebo to make people brave enough to go out.
Could be.
I was about to say, do you think it's all part of the PSYOP element of this? And when I say PSYOP, I'm not meaning to automatically connote conspiracy level, but, you know, it's hard to not dabble when you're me and when we're in a global pandemic and we're talking about controlling the behavior of massive amounts of the population. The
crazy part to me is, like, in the beginning, it was all kind of like the fear-mongering in the media was like something you kind of used to, and I kind of didn't give it a second thought. But when professional sports and NCAA started canceling stuff, you know, organizations that are solely based on making money and couldn't give a flying fuck about human life,
when they
started canceling shit, I was like, wait a second.
Right.
This doesn't add up.
So if like, this illness is important enough that it's going to affect the bottom line of entire industries in a day. People made that decision, I feel like, overnight.
It's been argued that, like, college students should be paid, especially top schools, top athletes, blah, 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 NCAA, a bunch of slave drivers, all that stuff. And then within, like, a month of COVID coming to the United States, they shut down. It was like, whoa!
Yeah.
That organization did? Shit.
And what does this mean for, you know, after this is over? Like, as far as, you know, if it's all about people having to keep distance, because, I mean, like, you know, we just watched, Carrie and I watched earlier today on Netflix, they have an Explained episode about coronavirus, and they were talking about how a lot of the sort of the way that usually like herd immunity would work with something like this, we don't have the time to wait for it to just naturally happen because millions of people are going to die. So until there's a vaccine, things like the distancing and like, so what, restaurants have to take out half of their tables, theaters have to take out half of their seats, all of these businesses can only make potentially half the revenue they used to be able to make if we're even psychologically unafraid enough to be going out. Right? I mean, that's where we're at.
Things are going to have to open to keep the economy afloat at all. But, like, major things like sporting arenas, concerts, that kind of stuff, not until there's a vaccine. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way you can make that happen.
They're already saying that major sporting events might not, unless governments just say, fuck it, let people die, they won't go major sporting events for 2-3 years.
So what is
2021 for opening up stadiums and stuff like the sports happening?
Gee.
Nobody understands.
Could you even imagine this? I mean, so is this the era when people are going to become famous for like being able to kick ass in Madden? You know what I mean? Like, all right, no real sports. It's time for us. Let's get these Twitch feeds going over to Netflix. And who wants to watch? All right, Bobby Bringer 95 from Denver is going to be
playing. Fucking DraftKings is hosting virtual betting odds. Like, are you kidding me?
This is weird, man. It's our time to strike, fellas. It's our time to like have this sort of network, this sort of alternative way of delivering media, podcasting, audio dramas, all of it. It's time for us to take over because everything else, I mean, all the other shit out there is falling apart. They're not pivoting fast enough. We got to take advantage. Yep. Got to jump in. I don't know if you think making me repeat myself is going to somehow make the story change, or if you just don't want to hear what it is I actually have to say, but again, we changed course based on orders received on the flash ban from company headquarters. Code gold, command eyes only. Standard operating procedure, as I know you are aware. Search and rescue would rarely venture into an unregulated area without more concrete proof of life. We sure found something out there, all right.
When you watch it as a little kid, you know, it's the monster movie, it's really creepy, but then there's all the weird artificial intelligence stuff, there's the, like, rapey nature of the face huggers and all that.
Why don't you stick your face in the egg, dude? Is there an egg opening in front of you? Stick your face in there and see what happens.
When I fall asleep at night, I have this irrational fear that something is going to crawl inside and like lay eggs inside of me. I'm actually wondering now that we're talking about this, if this might have been the impetus for that.
You know, Star Wars comes out and they go, what other movies do we have set in space? Boom, Alien gets green light the next day.
Very similar to just even how our government is in preparation for something where they didn't know exactly what was in store, like specifically xenomorphs.
Bodily fluids, and it's not just blood. There's a lot of like grease and there's a lot of sweat. And if it wasn't the blood that got me, it was the sheer amount of sweat.
We're on a mission to bring back knowledge of the xenomorph.
The end of all mankind, all wrapped up in a boat, just waiting for us to come along. You're going to find yourself staring down the barrel of a living, breathing devil in the flesh that bleeds acid and lives to kill us.
So maybe, I don't know, maybe this is the time that people will be looking at us. Well, what have you guys been doing to not focus on all the crazy shit? Because it's easy to always jump in and make fun of the negative of what's going on. But have you guys, I mean, the writing sounds awesome. I've actually gotten a little bit back into the writing as well. I've probably been chewing Drew's ear off a little bit, sending him stuff and saying, hey, can you just make sure this doesn't look like a 5-year-old wrote it? Like, you know, am I at least on a path here? Oh my God, it looks like it worked. We have...
Okay, I'm here, but once again, the audio is not... It's coming out of my phone speakers. So
that
weird.
Kid is on the escalator again.
Yeah, that fucking kid. Oh, and all, of course, when you restart your phone, every reminder you've had for 10 years comes back for some reason.
This is the other part of pandemic life.
The best at butchering everyday phrases, like, you know... I'll always be like, yeah, you don't want to feed a dead horse, you know, or something like that. Just always say it wrong. It just always comes out horrible.
Fifth style.
It's good advice, though.
So how has your pandemic experience been going, Chris? We've been talking a little bit about gloves and masks and psyops, and could this all be a conspiracy? Where else? Wow. What else have we touched on? Sporting events were the key for us to realizing this was a serious deal once the sporting events got closed down.
Once there was no NBA, I was like, fuck, this is crazy.
But even, like I was saying, even the NBA can be super liberal at times, you know. It was when the NCAA for me shut down, I was like, no, really? This is a thing now. They don't shut down for anybody. They don't care about their athletes. They don't care about human life. And they shut down.
Yeah, it's crazy. That's how you know it's fucking serious. You know, I had the positive or negative experience of having apprenticed as a tattoo artist for a little while. So I learned a lot about cross-contamination and, like,
oh, shit.
I'm just convinced. I'm convinced that not only is there coronavirus everywhere, but there's feces on everything. Everywhere you go. There's just shit. Just like,
as in my house.
It's like the semen database from Superbad. It's like, I just assumed there was a database with semen from everybody in it. Every surface has semen everywhere, but unfortunately this crime, no semen. We're not going to catch that guy.
Bathroom.
You know what's funny is I think I just saw on like Bill Maher or something, they found out coronavirus cannot be spread through farts. So it's an interesting world that we live in. Where there's just shit everywhere, and it may be our last line of defense.
How?
But no corona.
I was about to say, how did they figure that out?
Running is the new French kissing.
Oh, well, they did say
form of communication.
Didn't they say there's something about this being the age of eating ass that, like, that's part of the unexplained immunity out there? For everyone who thought they would never be into this, guess what? Would you rather try drinking Lysol or would you rather lick your girlfriend's asshole? One of the two is going to save your life.
I'd go lemon scented first.
Oh, that brought Chris on. I brought Steve on to camera. He's like, okay, hold on a second. What are we talking about now?
I'm really worried about what that was.
It wasn't until they started. Oh, that's awesome.
Boy, we're talking about appetizers right now.
Appetizers.
It's a too.
Malibu Tay.
I guess it could be more of a dessert, yeah.
It all depends on where it comes in the course of the meal.
The different customs, too, you know what I mean? Over here it's a dessert, over there it's an appetizer. Yeah,
tomato.
Some places it's how they tell if they actually know you or not. Oh no, those are dogs. That's how dogs do it.
Oh, Fosbury's chocolate pudding.
So,
yeah, it is.
Has there been anything that has been proven to be sort of like a time to go down memory lane and binge something I haven't watched in a long time, or has this been a discovering new stuff kind of time killing in the pandemic? Anybody find anything they want to chat about?
A lot of rewatching for me. Again, like with my wife, like not having seen a lot of things, we're rewatching Sopranos and Sons of Anarchy
at the same
time. So there's a lot of testosterone flying around right now.
I like it.
You got to go to True Detective season one after that, man, and it's the full on trifecta. The testicle trifecta right there, my God.
Of me just killing someone before I have a conversation.
That's full on, dude. Red meat all the way. That's just one of those. I'm watching it going, there's like nothing for women to hold on to with this. I mean, it's like you just are. This is like staying in an abusive relationship. Like, I'm just getting through the show because I started it, man. I don't even fucking know. This is how men behave? Christ.
And then we made the mistake of rewatching Lethal Weapon.
Oh, nice. Yeah, because they're all on Netflix right now. Yes. They keep coming up in the carousel.
The first two are tolerable.
And I think three and four are on Prime.
I think they keep getting better. I really do, because the added cast of characters.
We still have to watch the fourth one again, but the third one, I thought, like, I remember scenes in the first one, the second one. The third one was like a new movie to me. Like, there was nothing
really
about that movie to me, except for that motorcycle chase. Like, that's the only thing in there.
The fourth one has added racism, so that's always fun.
Always. That's when it was okay.
That was when it was okay.
The third one, I remember from the third one, obviously, like the dog, all the stuff with the dog, I just really love. And then Rene Russo.
Rene Russo,
I
yeah.
Thing for, I always loved Tough Chicks, and she was like one of the only ones in the 90s, so...
True.
Rene Russo and Lethal, she was pretty, she kicked some ass. And,
that was my first one in the theater.
Fourth, when you get Chris Rock, who seems like it would be, this shouldn't work, but somehow it does.
Dude, that's right. Yeah,
Chris Rock and Jet Li, yeah.
And Jet Li, and that shouldn't have worked either, but it did.
Basically, the outlaw stuff like that's actually been going on, too. Like I said,
it's rough.
Was it 2000, season two of Sopranos? There's a scene where Uncle June makes an Asian joke, and like nobody laughs. Like it was going on that long ago where they're like, this is
I have a Lincoln Continental. Yeah, I remember that scene.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to redo the joke because I'll get shit canned. But you should go season 4, episode 3 and season 2.
Dave's risking his own neck on this thing, but I'm going to play it safe and say we have an episode. It's out there.
wait till season 2, episode 3. That's when shit gets really intense on Sopranos in terms of that stuff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if you thought the strangling wasn't bad enough, wait till this.
Yeah, right.
Wait till this off-color humor.
Yeah. Ooh,
listen, I can take murder all day, but once we start crossing into discrimination, that's what I just can't. I gotta draw a line.
I rewatched
Lost Highway last week, and the whole sequence with Robert Loggia like running that guy off the road for tailgating him, and then just like apologizing to Balthazar. He's like, "I'm sorry about that, Pete, but tailgating is something I just cannot tolerate." I was like,
"Related to anything more?"
I know, right? And all of us wish we were that guy. That's actually supposedly based on a day in David Lynch's real life where he was being tailgated on the Pacific Coast Highway, and he waved somebody by, and the guy flipped him off, and David Lynch didn't do anything, and everyone in the car is like, "Wow, man, you're a much nicer guy than I am." He goes, "Oh, no, what I'm doing to him in my mind, you would not believe." And then all of a sudden, a couple of years later, Lost Highway came out, and they're like, "Oh, okay, we gotcha."
When he waved him by, was his fucking hands doing like fucking shapes?
or half sentences. You, when you're driving a car, it's like your mind is taking you on a journey, and your feet are just making sure that you get to where you need to go. And no one needs to know how you move your feet. You move your feet how you want to.
Follow him down the off ramp, not on purpose, because he took his hands off the wheel
and
started
getting. And he wound up at a cabin in the woods, and that's where I wrote Twin Peaks.
He was fucking steering with his chin.
Oh, shit. The trees, the wind, it was the wind blowing through the trees was guiding the car. And then he got out.
Paint and going at the side.
What year is this? Oh my God. And Blaine's like, why did I join this call? What am I doing here?
To me, Blaine's face says, how long have I been stoned? 24 hours?
28
hours?
His face is saying those edibles just kicked in.
Well, you're lucky you can get your hands on some, my friend. Everybody else, I was listening to another podcast where they were blatantly on air going, so yeah, it's been at least a week since I've been able to get any pot. And if anyone out there knows a way to send me some cartridges or something, you know, I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying I wouldn't turn them away. And I was like, that was brave. It was very brave.
That's one.
You just, like, leave, like DoorDash, just leave them on the doorstep.
Yeah.
Fuck DoorDash.
One tough part, one part about the pandemic that has hit me hard, yeah, is the pot rations. Jeez, I could live without toilet paper, but pot.
I'm suddenly a lot more short-tempered.
I'm toast.
Oh, you're out completely?
Me off with the pandemic the most is my neighbors talk to me more now.
When you're
fucking dead yet?
You think the pandemic would be like the cure for the neighbor problem, you know?
Yeah, what kind of social?
Every time I open my door and they look at me and they say hello and I go like that, you think that's a hint? Don't fucking talk to me.
Dude. I'm still doing that one. I'm in a townhouse, like condo apartment community where, because everybody, you see someone else outside and you're not used to human contact and they're just like, hey, so.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do small talk right now. No, thank you.
It is weird. I feel like down here, everybody's kind of taking it a little bit less seriously because I go for a walk every day just because it's the only way to kind of get out for a few minutes and get some exercise. Sometimes Carrie and I'll go on a walk together. There's lots of people out. Lots of people out walking. Lots of people out walking their dogs. Lots of people taking their kids, and they're huddled in these groups. I'm like, there's not 6 feet between each of you at all. Half of them aren't wearing masks. I mean, I'll fully admit I don't wear a mask when I go for a walk, but I'm also, if I'm walking up the street and I see somebody on the same side of the street walking towards me, I cross, or I wait for, right. And if they cross, I let them cross. But like, people are actually kind of, if you're a stranger, they're still keeping the social distance. But I feel like the people who are friends, or if like a whole family goes out, I've seen cul-de-sacs with like 10 people having a little block party and watching all the kids play. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to be in this shit for at least a year. This is just not, it's not happening. You know what I mean? Like in New York, where there are guns pointed at people saying, stay the fuck back. You know, then I get that's where people are, you know, probably listening a little bit more, but it's very relaxed. And at first I liked that. I thought it was kind of like, I don't really feel like there's a pandemic happening. And as the time has worn on here, it's starting to be like, okay, this is kind of weird. I don't want to get used to this, you know?
Just carry a brick with you when you go about. If anyone gets too close, just get them. The police aren't going to come out. Everyone's fair game.
That's true. And I
best time to be a serial killer. When it goes to the coroner, they're gonna just say they've died of COVID.
Oh, true.
Everyone's always COVID, so fuck it.
I've seen, dude, there's articles.
A serial killer who's still socially conscious enough to be social distancing. Like, I wish I could cut people's heads off, but you know, the CDC says,
oh my God, the year I had to stop killing. The year COVID killed my career as a serial killer. Oh my God, guys, let's workshop this. This thing could be something real right now.
Murdering, but you know, I didn't want to get anyone sick.
Oh my God, guys, this is a total mockumentary. We could sell this to Netflix. This could totally happen.
It's like the day the music died. Like, my
oh, God. you could have the guy who's been staking out like one of his targets, like one of his marks, and he's got their whole routine down. He's spent the last 6 weeks meticulous notebooks, like recordings on the phone and watching them, and it's like the day he's gonna do it is the shelter in place order comes in. And it's like full on, his neighbor's a cop and is like, get back in your place, man. Everybody's sheltering in place. And now he's just losing his mind in his apartment.
That would be the way to do it. Like, have him be very meticulous and OCD and, like, doesn't like germs but loves killing. And then Nick comes along and he's like, no, fuck!
Oh, my God. Oh. Like
Dexter, surgical gloves and shit.
Yeah, exactly.
He would have to get a job that would be considered an essential job so that he could still get out and maintain the routines to spy on people. He'd have to adjust his prey to be like first responders and stuff. Like, Blaine's just like, fuck you.
What if, like, but he hates germs, but he has like the most germy job. Like, he cleans porta potties for a living.
Right.
He's collecting the masks. No foul. He's collecting masks, you know, like he's got to be, yeah, it has to be
medical garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's a rent boy for politicians.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's still vital.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I bet there's, yeah, there's definitely got to be some city where everything is still going on as if nothing happened, right? There's got to be some place where, because that was the first thing.
It's called Florida.
Yeah. Taking busloads of school. We schoolboys into, you know, Westminster for the politicians to bum. You know, it's all going to be going on.
This is happening. You guys have footage. Epstein didn't kill himself. Epstein set up a dynasty.
And you know what? That's why the Catholic churches are all like, all the church people are like, we got to reopen church because there's no voice for them to molest right now. Yeah. I was just watching that South Park one where the guy's like, well, we could try not molesting the boys. And like, oh, my thousand priests are all like, oh, rah, rah, rah.
And then he goes to the Intergalactic Council and they're like, how do you stop your boys from reporting? And they're like, what do you mean, how do you stop them? We just don't do it. And everybody just starts laughing at him. Like, ah, they don't do it. All priests throughout the entire universe bum kids, man. That's just part of the job.
Yeah, that well is dried. No money, no kids. What are they doing?
Well, in that same course, what is organized crime doing without any sports to be laying odds on? What happened to betting, man? I mean, like, was this,
right?
If we're going to go conspiracy there for a second, is that one of the best ways to take like a huge piece of organized crime down? They're just like, hey, sorry, no Super Bowl this year, man.
You guys ramp it up for a while and make their collections because there's no more money coming in.
Yeah. What are they going to do?
After that, it could go dry. Who knows?
And then what? You know what I mean? You just have a bunch of pissed off violent guys.
For a second, I'm feeling bad for the organized criminals of the world, but I feel like they're more prepared than anyone else because, like, they know how to make shit fall off a truck, first of all. Second of all, they have, like, hordes of cash. Like, if I'm going by Sopranos logic,
right?
Like, everyone's got like ceiling tiles and floor, like, you know,
bird feeder.
Yeah. Bird feeders.
Yeah, bird feeder with $50,000 in it.
Yeah, and they know how to bunker down.
Yeah, fucking A. And they got the guns, if that's an important thing, which I guess right now, judging in America, the gun sales are like higher than ever. So
yeah,
it's important.
Dude, that's kind of scary too, man. That is scary as shit right there.
I think there's going to be a serious uptick in people shooting their dicks off during the quarantine. I really do. Guys like posing in front of the mirror, putting the gun into their pants, and it goes off. Yeah. And like the dick thing, man.
That's awesome.
Story about that this past week where he shot himself in the leg and then in the dick.
I think that's a lot more common than anyone wants to admit. I think the RA spends most of their time keeping those stories quiet.
Oh, my God.
Cold water on that shit. I bet
has to be the next statistic to come out. I think everybody's sick of the COVID cases. And the thing I want to see is state by state how many dicks were shot off because they didn't know what safety was.
Have you seen YouTube video of the guy that holds his dick out at a table and shoots it with a nail gun?
No, and I don't think I can watch it.
The video is like something like 43 minutes long, and most of it's on waiting on the paramedics turning up.
What?
And they have to. Yeah, he drops the camera onto the table, so it's like a side-on view. You see the blood fucking everywhere.
Ugh.
And like, they come and they have to amputate his dick.
Okay. I'm not watching this. I'm not watching this. No, you don't.
Here's the best bit. Someone has put Benny Hill music over it. It is fucking genius.
Yeah, can be stacked.
Oh.
That's the only way that makes that video okay.
I still can't do it though.
I watched it to the end.
I can't.
Seriously, need to know, was it just one shot and impaled to the table, or did he at least get off two?
He missed with the first one.
Oh,
the first one.
Did he
first
go to
one
the
scraped
head?
Along his ball sack, and he still went for a second shot.
Oh God.
Why, man? Why do people do this shit?
The second time, it's all blurred because he's like jacking off a bit to try and obviously make it a bigger target.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh my God. All right. So that's what he's doing with the pandemic.
He's on a stretcher and his dick's still on the table while he's getting wheeled away.
My search history is different than mine.
Yeah. No.
I've been watching the weirdest fucked up stuff on YouTube. That's what I've been
doing. Don't say.
Yeah, no, right?
People falling and getting impaled in the balls and stuff. It's all fucking boring.
So Tiger King was pretty cool. if you want. I thought that was the worst I was going to get. Gonna hear about. I watched Tiger King twice all the way through. Nope. This one took it. YouTube is winning. YouTube for the win. Well, was he also drinking a Lysol milkshake while he was shooting himself in the balls with
him? I think he was taking a speedball.
Nice.
But be honest.
Safety first.
You know, it's like weird because I always was wondering how we would go from, you know, like when you watch all the sort of future dystopia stuff from the 80s and even like the late 90s and early 2000s, like Matrix and Animatrix and Second Renaissance, where they would show the future and everyone's just chilling and the robots are doing all the work. And I was like, how would we ever get there? And I kind of feel like we're in like just like phase one of moving into that, transitioning into that life, you know, like this was the phase where we would see what is actually essential, what do we need, and how much of that can be automated. And once it's automated, if we throw everybody like $1,200 a month, can universal income work? You know, there's a lot of weirdness about the way all this is going on. And I don't know. I just don't know how we can go back to the way it was before. But I'm still holding out hope that we can.
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com. where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine. The New Jersey HorrorCon reputation is exploding. The atmosphere you guys had created. New Jersey HorrorCon was my entree into an actual horror convention.
Love it.
And you guys are doing a great job.
That is amazing. I'm super proud and super inspired to hear that. I mean, that's a testament to the community of cons and, you know, of horror and stuff in general.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's wow. Carmen Electra.
Hey.
Wow, we are all nice giving high fives to an absolute icon.
This is incredible.
Trailblazer, amazing. You are amazing.
Carmen Electra.
Absolutely. Be well. Safe. Thank you so much.
Love.
Have a good one. Be well. So you that's can't see happening. It on radio, but
oh,
she's
my
still
God.
Got it.
Yes.
That's
absolutely.
My wife
still
right
got
it. My wife gets the picture of Carmen Electra.
The wife does. There you go, wife. Good job, wife. That's cool. A keeper. That wife's a keeper.
Are you having a blast?
I am having a blast. Are you having a blast?
I am. What
this place is awesome, right?
What's your most favorite part of the whole day so far?
When the guy dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss stopped in front of our booth and we put Strutter on and he did a lip sync to the whole thing.
Guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that.
Yesterday I bumped into Michael Winslow. I got to have this whole experience where Leslie Easterbrook was lost and looking for her autograph table, and I got to take her all around.
It's spooky, actually. I'm going to turn the chair around a little bit
sure.
So I can see you.
Oh, well, all right.
Keep an eye on you. I saw you and I thought, this guy knows everything.
Oh.
Terrific
really?
And sound in here with
cool.
you.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you. Yeah, it's
really
amazing
clear.
How it... Damon Della Greca of Slasher, this awesome app.
I wanted to do something that would really make it for these people who just love to create, who love horror.
Thank you for what you're doing, dude. It's
Thank
great
you.
That you put this together.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to see you.
We're trying to have as much fun, and we want people to have fun with us, and that's why we got guys like you stop by the table, hang out. We got to do the radio thing for a little bit.
He's from Jersey. I'm from the South, so.
And I'm from the Bronx, so.
So we're all still
okay.
friends. That's good.
So we're all good. Daniel Frankenstein. I'm representing psychothematicmedia.com. Call ourselves a creative collective.
My name is Gail Bykowitz.
Yeah, I'm Hector De La Rosa. We're partners in crime here. We're doing special effects makeup, and we're also independent filmmakers.
When I ran into them earlier, they were definitely vampire cowboys.
I love Better Off Dead. I love Villain's Heads. And I'm just so glad that you guys remember those films.
Oh my God. Those movies, I would go to school and just try and talk like Bill and Ted all day.
No
like,
triumphant.
I don't want my $2, man. Right? I've walked around wanting those $2 for how many years now?
This is fantastic.
Oh.
But of course, I'm
we
never
need some language lessons.
Like,
David Clone from the Hollow Nine Network, and by now you know what it's time for you to do. Let's go on over to NewJerseyHorrorCon.com, get yourself some tickets, and check out this awesome event where we are lifetime sponsors. We will be there from now until infinitum with all these incredible guests that are going to be at the next one, bringing you all the awesome from the show floor right to your digital door, right here at Hollow9.com at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival.
Did you get it? I hope you got it.
I got it.
That's good. See you soon.